It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Great to be with you on a Monday. It was not great yesterday. 24-22, the final score. We'll get into headlines next. Some interesting headlines going on around the league. Last night, during the day, the Deshaun Watson story is a big one if you missed it.
Oh,
ruptured Achilles, done for the year. Yeah, we'll get into that in headlines. That is a deep cut headline up in Cleveland.
Those stories that I'm jealous that people get to talk about privately and make jokes on their own, as opposed to, you know.
Well, and the crowd reaction yesterday is the big story up there.
It's unacceptable, Sean. I'll tell you.
Yeah. We'll get into it. We'll get into it in headlines. Let's stick with the Texans from yesterday. We dug into the offensive line. We'll give the offensive line a break. Offensive line, you can sit on the bench for a little bit. We'll get back to you in headlines. D'Amico Ryans yesterday. Close game. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny on coaching decisions in a game like that. When the coach is also the de facto defensive coordinator, he's the one calling the plays. There'll be a lot of scrutiny there, too. Let's start with the good. I thought the defense played – I thought the defense put forth a winning effort yesterday. Based on the performance of the defense, they should have won that game yesterday. They forced three turnovers. I thought, as we anticipated, Seth, especially after that texter pointed out who the head coach of this team is, a former elite-level linebackers coach in D'Amico Ryans, I thought Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen – I thought they did a pretty good job yesterday, considered.
I mean, there were a lot of – look, there were – I don't know how many slants Romeo Doubs caught over the middle. I think it was 47 day. There were some weaknesses over the middle of the field.
Yes.
But in general, I think given the weaknesses of the defense and how they managed it, I thought they did a good job of it. And that's ultimately – you know, obviously, you got to hold Jordan Love to not getting in field goal position there at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But I know that they're like, it feels like they were playing prevent defense. They did blitz a couple times on that drive. I think they had to manage with what they had and what they couldn't do. The pass rush came up big at times yesterday.
Yes.
But really, yeah, D'Amico and the game management at the end of the game. And then also D'Amico and not challenging the lateral were the two things where you're just like, what's going on here? Like, that was clearly a lateral. Call a timeout at least to wait and see.
Yep.
It's just there was some game management stuff that just didn't make a lot of sense.
We'll dig into those in a second here for sure. Here was D'Amico Ryans after the game. Again, we're on good D'Amico right now. D'Amico, de facto DC, A-plus yesterday. Not A-plus, probably an A-minus yesterday. Here was D'Amico Ryans on how did he feel the reserves played today.
Thought our guys did a good job defensively, but at the end of the day, we didn't make enough plays to win the game. No matter who's out there, there's no excuses. We got to play our technique the right way and make plays when it's our time to make a play.
Yeah, and they didn't. At the end of the game, you got to make a play at the end of the game if you want to win. This was a game that was going to be put on the defense. You could tell that very early on. For some perspective on how well the defense played, Seth, the snap counts came out. Aaron Wilson posted them this morning. These are the players that played 100% of the snaps for the Texans yesterday. Neville Hewitt, Eric Murray.
Ooh.
Let's see here. Jake Hansen, Jalen Petrie, Kalen Bullock, Derek Stingley Jr., and D'Angelo Ross.
Mm-hmm.
D'Angelo Ross, Jake Hansen, Neville Hewitt are among the players that played 100% of the snaps in the game yesterday.
Yeah, look, and D'Angelo Ross obviously was going to be a focal point of the Packers, whereas Mac Jones and the Patriots somehow decided to not test D'Angelo Ross.
Drake Maye.
You know what? They weren't as capable of testing D'Angelo Ross. That wide receiving core for the Packers is just a really good across the board, guys that can threaten. They're deep, yes. And it's not so easy just to disguise or protect defensively because they've got multiple guys that can do damage, obviously, we saw.
So I was happy with the defense. And honestly, it's particularly the linebacker thing made me feel better if indeed these, you know, if the Henry Toa's concussion situation is a serious one where it's a multi-week thing, if Aziz Alshire's knee – would, you know, if that's a serious thing, we never know, and D'Amico would never say, you know, how much of the management of these injuries has to do with the fact that empirically the game coming up against Indy is a far more important game than Green Bay is a better team than Indianapolis. Make no mistake about that. But this Indianapolis home game, I mean, you can really put a stranglehold on the division this coming weekend by sweeping the Colts and being 3-0 in the division. So how much of it is trying to kind of play the middle on that whole thing? We don't know. But the defense played well yesterday. Okay, now I hate this because we got to get to this part because I love DeMeco Ryans and I think he's a really good head coach. This was, as a game manager, it was his worst day as the Texans head coach yesterday, in my opinion, based largely on two sequences in the game. The first one, as you pointed out, there was the play where it was called an incomplete pass. Jordan Love kind of flips a pass out to the left side to, I think it was Jaden Reed, and he didn't catch it. It was very questionable at game speed and to the naked eye if it was a lateral. The Texans played through the whistle like it was a lateral. I believe it was Foley Fatakasi who fell on the football. It was called an incomplete pass. Replay showed, in my mind, that it was at least worth throwing a challenge flag. I don't know if you would have won it, but the upside of winning it was that you get possession of the football. And number two, clearly there was some confusion going on defense play where throwing the flag would have been the equivalent of a timeout, and you get the best of both worlds right there.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, the rules advisor thought that it was a lateral.
Change territory, yeah.
You just didn't have and then we heard that DeMeco was jumping around on the sideline, so I thought at first maybe there was some kind of issue with them not getting the challenge buzzer.
He was waving like a maniac over there.
So there was something discombobulated in the defensive backfield, and obviously it didn't work out. Yeah, that
scored
was
a touchdown on that play.
That was frustrating. Yeah. And it was a clear recovery. People asking, yes, it was blown dead, but it was a clear recovery. So
Texans
if it's a clear recovery, they would have given it to him.
Yep. Yeah. Then there's the end of the game. Texans got the ball with about 5-6 minutes left in the game. Did a fantastic job of matriculating down the field, burning clock. And I'll preface this by saying there have been times this year where I thought the game management has been good at the end of the game. I gave DeMeco Ryans, we have multiple segments on this show talking about what a masterclass the final drive against the Jaguars was, and it was. Everything from moving the ball to burning the clock to making the Jags use their timeouts, all of those things. Yesterday was an abomination. And look, some of it had to do with the fact that the offense itself was an abomination. I don't know what the message was, and this answer by C.J. Stroud we're going to hear in a second here is troubling to me. We'll get to that, but here was DeMeco Ryans after the game yesterday when he was asked about what was the goal of the final drive. What were you trying to do on the final drive?
Yeah, our goal is always to go score. That's our goal. Like, they did a good job of stopping us, didn't get in. So, you know, obviously we didn't pass the ball well all day, right? So it wasn't good all the way around. We ran the ball well, thought Joe did a good job of running the ball, and, you know, we needed to pass it. It was not good enough, starting with the protection. If we can't protect, and that's going to be difficult for the quarterback to make the plays.
Okay, so go and score, you know, there's no follow-up. Do you mean a touchdown? Do you mean a field goal? Do you know, right? I mean, go and score.
Yeah.
I guess if there weren't this controversy over how it was handled, we would think he meant touchdown. Let me play CJ here real quick, Seth, then I'll get your thoughts on this. Because CJ was asked what was the goal on the final drive as well. Here was his answer.
You know, I just try to execute every play that I can, that I get called. I really don't know the philosophy right then and there. You know, I'm trying to talk to DeMeco, but I really can't get over there. But, you know, what it seemed like, we were trying to just run out the clock and then, you know, try to kick a field goal before, you know, we ended up, having to throw the ball on third down and, you know, they'll give them the ball back with a minute and like 40 left. So, I think that it was a good plan. Just got to execute better.
Okay.
So yeah.
Before we get into the nooks and crannies of the play calls here, what are your thoughts on that?
So this is the thing, and going back and trying to figure out, all right, you're trying to grind clock here, obviously, running the ball. And I think maybe because they'd gotten down into the red zone in the first half and run the ball effectively, Joe Mixon had a couple of nice goal line or extreme red area runs
in
down
the first
there.
Half, yes.
The mistake they made was thinking, oh, we're a team that can run the ball when we need to run the ball now.
Right.
But you're trying to. So I can't fault them for trying to run the ball and burn clock there. On that second 12 run, it was a combination of Kenyon Green and Titus Howard just getting destroyed by their individual guys. Yeah. I mean, there was nothing exotic about that. Kenyon Green got blown up into the backfield. The three technique came clean. Titus Howard made a vague stab at trying to block the defensive end, but he came down and made the tackle. It was just it was bad all around. And then it's 3rd and 15. You've been trying to chew clock. The Packers have one more timeout that they would have had to use if you had run the ball again or show, you know, run a draw or a screen or something like that. But they choose to throw an out short of the sticks that even if it had been whether it was a catch or not, was going to stop the clock because you're going out of bounds. Yeah. It didn't, and it doesn't. You were already in chip shot field goal range.
That doesn't get you. Kaimi can kick it from the 40-yard line. Yeah,
and I did. I said it right before. I tweeted it out in the moment. I was like, "Oh, he's going to pass, isn't he?" Which is that usually I've made excuses for Bobby Slowick in the past and D'Amico Ryans in these situations. I can't make an excuse for this. No, this is just and that's so the Packers end up preserving their timeout. Yeah. It's the field goals. Not hardly any easier to make than it would have been right from there at the 17-yard line. I don't get it.
It made no sense. Throwing on third down, when clearly your dual goal is, hey, maybe we can run the football and kind of grind this thing out, but at the very least we're running the football and they're burning their timeouts.
Yeah.
You run a play where 99% of the outcomes stop the clock. So either he catches it and lands on the sideline and he's out of bounds, Tank Dell, or it's incomplete like it was and it stops. The only excusable passing in that situation, the only excusable outcomes are either literally taking a sack is a better outcome than what you did. C.J. Stroud would have been better off going into the fetal position, taking the sack and making the Packers burn their third time out. Or you throw into the end zone and try to get a touchdown, I don't think it would have been great clock management. It wouldn't have gone with the ethos of what you were doing on first and second down, but it would have been light years better of what you did. That was just stupid. And I don't know who's to blame for it. You know, maybe they had a certain play called and CJ checked into something else and he lost his mind in the moment and threw a pass that stopped the clock. But that combined with Seth them kicking it out the back of the end zone on the kickoff. You know what I mean? Like that, you're handing the ball at the 30. You know, that's where you feel the nerve wracking of the touchback being at the 30. Now is when you got to keep a team from kicking a field goal at the end of the game. You're like, ooh, that's not many first downs they need to get into field goal range.
Yeah,
the clock doesn't run. You know,
I hate that first down graphic. Because it just feels like such imminent doom.
Yeah.
The imaginary field goal.
The red stripe.
The spot to get to. Yeah.
The red stripe.
I hate it and I love it. It makes it way more interesting now because you can see the stakes that are involved.
Better when you're on offense.
Yeah, I miss the old days when you can't even really tell where they are.
Ignorance is bliss. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was... That, and then, I mean, I don't... I haven't even had... my head hurt so bad from what they were doing on offense. I didn't have a chance to go see if D'Amico using any of their timeouts when the Packers got near field goal range made any sense. They have three timeouts left, the Texans. Should he have been calling timeouts? At that point, I was so infuriated by the offense, I didn't even care to think about it at that point.
Romo made some good points yesterday, but he also just made... The thing that was bothering me the most was him gushing about Bobby Slowick and how brilliant he is when... I'm checking myself. I'm like, wait a second. Okay, they've got 40 yards passing at this point. We're deep into the fourth quarter, and you're telling me that somehow this is a brilliantly executed offensive game plan. What the hell are you talking about, Roma? He did make some points about this is an old Bill O'Brien thing too. You got all these condensed formations, the tight ends, the wide receivers all down at the core of the offensive line, which is awesome if you've got guys who can actually line up and physically handle people, but they don't have those guys.
Yeah.
You have a quarterback who's really actually good against the blitz if given just a little bit. Spread things out so he can see the blitz coming from a mile away.
Right.
You know, like instead of it being a mass of humanity, it's like a tidal wave pouring over him.
No.
He has no chance because he's got six defenders collapsing the pocket all at once.
I thought it was significant that CJ started to show real frustration on the sideline yesterday. He threw his helmet down at one point on the sideline yesterday.
I approve of his frustration.
I do too, but it was jarring to me. He's not like that. You know, like that's how bad it is right now. You have CJ Stroud, seriously, one of the coolest customers in the business, throwing his helmet down in frustration on the sideline. That's how bad you suck offensive line right now.
Like, it's got to be. It's frustrating as hell. This team justifiably had very high expectations offensively, and I would include that. If you look at the depth chart before the season, if you didn't have Nico Collins, it should still be a pretty good, damn good offense.
No question.
They are a mediocre offense right now.
Yes.
They're middle of the pack in just about everything. Yep. Scoring, all of it. Like, they're just, they are a tepid offense.
And where would they be?
And there's no excuse for it.
No, and where would they be without Joe Mixon?
I feel bad, man, for all the people that were way more skeptical of Bobby Slowick than I was in the offseason. You and I wondered about the run game and are they going to actually put together a good run game.
Yep.
That was Bobby Slowick's big test. He's failing that miserably.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was that's what we did say that all offseason. Yeah. Bobby Slowick has to show that he can engineer a good rushing offense before he keeps getting all this love as a potential head coach candidate, and he's failing miserably in that regard.
Bloom is off the rose, no doubt. All right, headlines.
And he did it in his hometown.
He
had to, like, his high school teachers were watching
that's
that.
That's true. That's embarrassing.
Some of them were like, I always knew he was up. I always knew he'd never
Bobby
make
didn't
it.
Come home with the team. He sat in detention last night, actually. He stayed up there, and they put him in detention.
He had to go clean up toilet paper out of the trees of the high school football
He had to write 1,000 times on the chalkboard, I will not let C.J. Stroud get hit 15 times. Headlines.
Ooh, that's my afternoon project now. With my new video editing skills, I'm gonna put Bobby Slowick's head on Bart Simpson's.
Oh, that's a good tease.
And I have like him, that. Yeah.
Good tease. We'll get to the Texans again in headlines. We've got a World Series in place. College football from over the weekend, and Deshaun Watson out for the season. We will get some interesting audio from that. That's coming up next in headlines.